The love of God. Hallelujah. Nothing like it. Nothing compared to it. Praise God. Amen. Would you just ask the blessing on this service today? Praise God.
Yeah, Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy.
Yes, Father.
Lord, we know there's only one true God. Lord, you said in your word yourself, Lord God, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. So we thank you, Lord, that we worship you. We come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to walk in love, to love thee, to love one another, to obey your voice, Lord God.
Yes, Father.
Lord, help us to be Christians in these last days.
Yes.
Walking in love, doing the will of God from the heart. God, as we come to thee today and as we go to the communion table, Lord, thank you, Lord. We're not worthy of your blood, but we're worthy through your blood.
Yes, we are.
Thank you for that blood, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Help us, Lord God, to be bold witnesses for you, swift witnesses, true witnesses, Lord God.
Thank you, Father.
Bless our pastor, Lord. Strengthen him. Comfort his heart. Strengthen his mind. Lead
you,
God, and direct him. Bless Sister Venema. Heal her completely, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Bless Matthew moving the home. Bless the little set free. Meet every need that's present,
Father.
God. Help us, Lord God, to be bold witnesses and to walk by faith and not by sight.
Thank you.
Lord, meet every need that's present. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's worship him today in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's the promise. And, you know, the New Testament got so much in it. You almost pass by some of the great covenant promises that really carry over from the covenant with ancient Israel to us today. And in the book of Isaiah, there's a fear not promise.
Hallelujah.
And the reason for it is for the promise of help. No matter what our problem, no matter what our need, it's the promise that God is going to help us.
Amen.
And it says, happy is the man that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help. And happy is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
Now, this is not a happy nation because they need, this nation needs a revival. This nation needs to know what Jesus can do in their heart, in their life, and in our nation. Amen. But there's a pushback on that. So we're living in an unhappy America. Acknowledge nationally Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
For we're offered the help of God. Fear not, he said, because I am upholding you with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, for I'm holding you by my right hand. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I am for you. I will help you, he said.
Amen.
Praise God. How many need God's help in your life today? That's the promise of it. It's the promise of it. And he fulfilled it on a much grander scale in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Who said unto us, I'm with you always. Lo, I am with you. Even until the end of the age. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you're not receiving the help that he promised, you're not happy today as a Christian. And God wants some happy Christians. Amen. God would love to have some people representing a kingdom of light and love and a king who helps his people. A king who listens when we pray, who helps us with whatever we face in life. I frequent in the summer a particular Circle K, and I was waiting in a long line of impatient people when it finally got down to me, and I actually let somebody in front of me that was carrying more stuff than me. I just had two big gulps for me and Pamela to share. I mean, not really share, but you know what I mean. Drink together. We drink together, don't we?
I drink, John.
Yeah, I don't like to drink alone. We drink together. So when I finally got up there, the guy behind the counter, young man, said, "You're one of my favorite customers." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, because you're always happy." And he just opened the door. I said, "Well, I'm not happy because everything is always just fine in my life. I'm happy because I have help from God." And now he's kind of taking a step back from the counter. Amen. I guess you want to know what happy pill am I taking. Can you say amen? I want some of that. He needs some of that. You can't get it from a pill. Brother Taylor would say the gospel. That's the pill you can get it from. I said, because the scripture says, and now he's starting to fidget. He's taking a step back and he's fidgeting because now I'm quoting scripture. Happy is the man that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help. I said, man, I'm happy because I have help because Jesus is my Savior and God is my Father. Now, he doesn't talk to me much when I go in because he don't want another sermon. But you know what attracted him? Being happy in an unhappy world. Amen. Standing out in an unhappy world. A world that is without hope and without God. And when someone comes along with hope in God, praise God, it makes an impact on them for him. Hallelujah. So I want to stay happy. I want to stay here. I've seen some sourpuss preachers in my life. I mean, I've met with sourpuss preachers. Anyway.
I remember when you were.
She remembers when I was. I was so. I come home. Yeah, I wasn't a happy preacher because all the burden and all the knotheads. Not y'all. Nobody in here.
She.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Sean. Come on. Well, I hope I'm not out of Sunday when I get nailed. Sheep are passive, but they bite, right? They bite. Listen. It gets overwhelming, and I was overwhelmed with it all. And I would come home in a state, and Pamela said, honey, I'm saying, oh man. But after a while, I was able, and it took a while, and I'm talking about years, to give people, situations, circumstances to the Lord. Amen. Let him have it. I broke under the load. And the reason I broke, it wasn't because God wasn't faithful or grace wasn't sufficient. It's because I chose to carry the load instead of give it to the Lord. Amen. It was my choice. I made a bad choice. I misinterpreted the scripture that Paul talked about. He talked about all his problems, pressures, perils of life that he went through, and he added to it, amen, that cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, I thought he was carrying that as a weight, and evidently, that care was an issue with him, but he obviously didn't carry it as a weight because he's the one that told us how to cast our care upon the Lord, give these things, and live in faith. Praise God. So I had to learn that, and I had to learn it the hard way, not just from listening to Paul, amen, but going through things where I failed to do that like I needed to do. Every time I hear the song, the old song, peace, we often forfeit. Oh, the needless pain. Now, folks, I don't like pain. I don't like pain of no kind, no way, no how. Don't ask me if I want a shot in the gum before you mess with my teeth. I want two. Don't ask me if I want laughing gas. I want a double shot. Don't ask me if I want to be put to sleep. I don't want to be put to sleep because I am so happy to go under and wake up when it's over. Amen. I don't like pain. And needless pain, unnecessary pain, some pain is essential, necessary. But there's pain that isn't. And the pain and the hurt of carrying burdens that are too heavy, the pain of it in our heart and in our life, it's too heavy. That's why we're told to cast our burden upon the Lord. That means give people and circumstances to God. And as the old song says, take your burden to the Lord and carry it right on. Is that the verse?
No.
Take your burden to the Lord. It's not a trick question. You remember the song? Because I do have trick questions. This is not one. Amen. And leave it there. And I can look over an audience and tell how many people left it there. Some didn't take it to the Lord. You have not because you asked not. Needless pain. Everybody say needless pain. Needless pain. Needless pain. You have not because you ask not. Ask and receive not. Consume it on yourself. But if you ask to have victory so you can be a blessing and a witness for Christ, amen, you're in the right area of prayer to get answered today. Amen. But you have to unload all of that stuff over onto Him. A preacher friend of mine, I'll say this real quick before we move into communion. He wadded up a piece of paper. He's an evangelist, and I've known him for as long as I've been preaching. Preached for us on a homecoming one time. He wadded up a piece of paper. I saw him on YouTube holding a revival, and I'm just interested because I knew him for years. He wadded up a piece of paper into a wad, and he said, "Cast your burden on the Lord." And he just threw that piece of paper over into the corner, and I was sitting thinking, tried that. Didn't work. Just forget about it. Act as if it isn't an issue. Just done. Then I looked up the Hebrew word for cast. And it means to roll it over onto another. Yes. To roll it over to another. And if there's someone with me that invites me to let him carry that for me, it's on me now to roll it over on him. But we have to be walking together for me to roll it over on him. Amen. You can't just use faith for faith's sake. We roll it over on him because we're walking together. Two can't walk together except they agree. Amen. Enoch walked with God. Was not because God took him. Yeah. When we walk in the Spirit, we're walking with God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And in this close relationship, I learned to trust him. Yes. Cast your burden. Say, roll it over. Roll onto another. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I'm carrying, we got backpacks now. People carry backpacks. Yeah. And some people got a lot in it because they're walking like this. And they're not 80, like almost 80 like me. They're walking like this. Someday I'm going to walk like that without a backpack. just to carry my back. Amen. But not today. Hallelujah. Not yet. They're carrying a burden. They're carrying that burden. When God's people carry it, we'll never be happy. We can't show the world this wonderful help that we have in God. But it involves our faith and our giving to Him that is bowing us down, bowing us over. Amen. Oh, friend of mine, what a relief it is. Plop, plop. Oh, yeah, Alka-Seltzer commercial. What a relief it is. Cast your burden on the Lord. He's right there. Lo, I'm with you always. He's telling us, I'm here. Acknowledge my presence. Walk with me. Talk with me in prayer. And give that person and give that circumstance to me in trust. Hallelujah. And it will be lifted off of you. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Whatever's going to happen, God now has it.
Yes, amen.
Trust Him with it.
Yeah.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He will bring it to pass.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm excited about seeing some Christians go out into this world. This unhappy, have you ever seen so many people that are so angry, so mean to one another, filled with hate and angst and anger? Some happy people need to show up,
amen,
that are not going to just respond to their anger with anger and not let them pull you into their depression. Amen. I just don't see many happy preachers. I've been to revival where there was a guest speaker and there was four or five pastors supporting it, which is unusual. Thank God for it. And they're sitting there with their arms folded, you know, through the worship service. They're not worshiping. They're not smiling. They just look kind of like dignified mannequins. Very dignified, lifelike, but not alive mannequins. Sitting on the platform, no amen, no hallelujah, no nothing. And I thought, my Lord, have mercy. We got to do better than this. Amen. Amen. Because if we get under the load, it will press us down. Yeah. Satan, if he can't possess you, which he can't if you're a real born-again Christian. Thank you for the hearty amens and the oh me's. He will oppress you. And oppression is real. I've been under satanic oppression. Amen. And the only way out of it is to commit our way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, praise God, so He can take up the battle. And we can rest in Him, for the battle is no longer ours if we commit it to Him. Plop, plop. Oh, what a relief it is. Can you say, man, what a relief it must have been before we received communion this morning, just a little bit. What a relief it must have been. Amen. When there's this army that is overwhelmingly large, a unified army, all intent on the destruction of God's people. What a relief it was when Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat. We got two kings that did a similar thing. Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah. Amen. And he went before the Lord and made a confession of absolute dependence on God. Yeah. And he said, we have no might. What? We have no might and no power to go up against an enemy as overwhelming as this. Right. We have no might, no power. Right. Now, where's that cuss today? I'm with it. I got it together. I got authority. I just whip devils for breakfast. And amen. Before breakfast. We have no might. What a bad confession. Oh, hush up. Listen, we have no might. And no power, military power. No might in and of ourselves to face an army as overwhelming as this. But our eyes are on Thee.
Yes, Father.
One good thing about acknowledging our weakness and looking to Him in an exclusive faith, like Paul, when I'm weak. No power. Hallelujah. I love what the old covenant says. To them that hath no power, He increases strength. Can you say amen? That's what Paul meant. I have no power. When I'm weak, am I made strong. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Because that strength comes when I acknowledge my weakness and have an exclusive faith in Him. Glory to God. My dad used to play it on the fiddle. That's a violin. My dad played a fiddle. One is for bluegrass music from the mountains. The other is just a little, you know, a little more formal than that.
Yeah.
I like it, brother. I like it. Praise God. Listen, to them that hath no might. We have no might. We have no power. That was the confession. But our eyes are on You.
Yeah.
Everybody say exclusive faith.
Exclusive.
Faith in God and God alone. Hallelujah. And suddenly a prophet stands up in the audience and begins to prophesy. But our eyes are on You. Prophet stands up. You know what he prophesies? Thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle,
right,
in the natural with your armies. For the battle from this moment is no longer yours.
Amen.
The battle is now the Lord's.
Amen.
He it is that will fight for you.
Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. Hallelujah.
And He gave him a battle plan.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. God gave him the battle plan.
Yeah.
He said, get those people who are designated in the temple, to get the singers that are designated to praise God in holy worship.
Amen.
Yeah.
Forget the army. Forget the swords, the shields, and the spears. The battle is no longer yours. It's mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord, He it is that will fight for you. Amen. And so, can you imagine the choir in the temple that sang praises? They've got these, you know, they don't get their hands dirty. Their fingernails look like they've been manicured, because their job is just to go in there and worship every day. Say, listen, King says to tell you folks to come.
Yeah.
There's an overwhelming army out there.
Yeah.
And He wants y'all to go out, stand right in front of that overwhelming army set on our destruction, and sing those praises to the Lord before that army, just like you do in the temple.
Yeah.
Amen. What? What? Can you imagine sending the choir? There must be something in praise that we're not getting.
Come on, brother.
With the high praises of God in my mouth,
yeah,
and a sword in my hand.
Yeah.
Kings and princes will be bound with fetters.
Yeah.
Oh, the devil doesn't want us to worship in spirit and in truth. Because, listen, if demons tremble when we praise like that, we ought to give him a nervous breakdown.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
Come on.
And so they sang a song, a repetitive song. And it was not just a song or any song, it was a specific song. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't sing Miriam's song after the victory. They were singing a song before the victory.
Yeah.
We can understand Miriam's after the victory song. Our God is a man of war. She picked up a tambourine, and after Pharaoh's army is destroyed, and she began to sing, praise God, hallelujah. Yeah. Our God is a man of war. He's cast the horse and the rider into the sea. What a celebration of victory. This was a celebration of God's mercy and the one and the only one who can grant the victory. And even in the old covenant, is because He is good and He is merciful that we have that kind of covenant and help from Him. The Lord is good. And His mercy abides forever. He's good and His mercy abides forever. Praise God. Sing it again. Okay, the Lord is good. And they just kept saying it. And now they're befuddled. This army's saying, where's their troops? What is this?
Yeah.
What is this? What's going on?
Amen.
And God sent a spirit of confusion into that multiple allied army. Until they got so confused, they saw each other as enemy combatants.
Yeah.
And here's the choir singing, the Lord is good, His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good. Can you sing it with me today after me? The Lord is good, His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Sing it again. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. The Lord is good.
Well,
come on, we need something. Is that all we need? What we need is a good God who is such a merciful God that when we call on Him for help, He says, listen, you don't have to sweat it anymore. I'm taking up this battle. This battle is no longer yours. This battle is now mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. You shall not have to fight in some physical, emotional, wear you down, wear you thin, and wear you out type of situation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. glory. I don't know what's going on here today. I've got such a good outline for Holy Communion. But I know what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen. He wants some Christians who will give it to God and leave it there and let go and let God, not because it's a cliche, but it's a biblically supported, substantiated truth. Let God take up that battle. Hallelujah. Brother Venable, what? You broke under the load. Yes, I did. Because I couldn't just do what I wish I could have done, and that's roll it up into a ball and throw it over there and forget about it. But what I could do and did do is get closer to God, to where we're walking together in agreement. And when God says, I've got that, I agree with Him. When God says, I'm with you and I can't feel Him, and I can't find Him because my emotions are racked and I'm overwhelmed, I acknowledge He's still with me.
Amen.
I am not going to be shaken by this feeling that I have, because I know for a fact that God gave His Son for me. I know for a fact. I've got feelings and they're all negative, but I know for a fact that Jesus died on the cross for me. And I know for a fact it wasn't the goose pimples, the warm, fuzzy feelings on Sunday morning. It was that cross and the one who hung on it that convinces me that I am loved when circumstances go south in my life. And the Apostle Paul said it clearly. Amen. There's nothing. There is no one. There is no thing. Nothing. Praise God. Angels, principalities, circumstances, amen, life, death, or any other thing that'll ever separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 I am loved today. Glory to God. It's the kind of love that's based on a covenant. It's not performance based. If God loved me because I was perfectly performing all the time, then I couldn't count on it when I falter. I don't mean backslide. There's no something in some closet, old clothes and some shoes I need to get rid of, amen, because they pinch my toes. There's no skeleton in the closet. I said one Sunday morning when Sean was here to, amen, that I've never been caught at the no-tell motel. And I had, Sean looked at me. I said, "Never been to the no-tell motel." You got to clarify with these sheep.
Yeah.
Amen. Not getting caught is not the same thing as never going there, right? The reason I didn't get caught, because I've never been there.
Amen.
Are you boasting? No. Every fallen minister, every fallen Christian, amen, every marriage that fell apart, except for the grace of God.
Yes.
There go I. True. Except for the grace of God.
Amen.
There go I. Amen. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
While they were singing, a spirit of confusion came into the camp. Every man that was set to destroy Israel and the Jews in that day, under the old covenant, they turned their swords on one another. And they began to fight each other. That unified force, they'll come out. Oh, the covenant. They will come out against you, unified, set for your destruction. But one way. In unity of purpose. But they will flee from you seven ways. God's number of complete victory.
Amen.
Complete disarray. Complete decimation. They'll come in great force, but they will flee. Hallelujah. Seven ways. Hallelujah. That's the covenant when God says, that's my helping you. That's my help. You've got my promise of help. Don't operate in fear any longer. And if you're happy, This is not scripture. This is Robert A. Venable. Notify your face.
Amen.
Notify your face. You know what the Bible says about your countenance as a Christian or as anybody? The eyes of him who are joyful rejoices the heart of others. Rejoices the heart of others. Rejoices the heart of others. People are drawn to somebody that's happy, positive. This is not positive thinking. This is the power of God in our life by the Holy Spirit who is in us and with us and abides with us forever. What good is it, Jesus saying, "Lo, I'm with you always," if we don't roll our burden over onto him? What can we show a gainsaying world if we're under it just like they are? We're at war with Iran in a limited, I don't know if they'll call it war, I don't know, amen, but you know, they're bombing and unified with Israel. War is a bad thing. Unified with Israel is a good thing. We're watching God's promise to help his covenant people in real time. Once again, I'll curse them that curse you. You know what a former leader of Iran said? By the way, Iran is the sponsor, the financial supplier of weapons and money to all of the terrorist groups in the Middle East. Hamas, Hezbollah, all of them. ISIS, they're behind it all. And the last leader before the Ayatollah came along, he said this, when all the Jews were coming back to Israel, he said, "I'm glad all the Jews are coming back to Israel, because now we can hunt them down and kill them all in one place. We won't have to go all through the world to kill them. If they got a nuclear weapon, there is no if and but or maybe they would have fired it against Israel to destroy as many as they could. There's an intrinsic hate, and they cursed Israel. He that curses Israel, God said, I'm going to curse." And sometimes he uses people. Sometimes he uses governments. It's not just America. There are other governments that know what they would do if they could do. And they are aligning themselves against Iran. Iran, of course, can't win. Because if God be for us. That's the question, isn't it? If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. When Israel surrounded by evil kings and great armies, God reminded them of their covenant and his promise to help them. And he said, "Where?" Because they were trembling in fear. "Where is the fury of the oppressor?" God said, "I'm your defender. Where's the fury of the oppressor? Why are you so fearful, trembling? You have a covenant with me. Call on me." Hallelujah. I will help you. I promised it. Glory to God. If God be for us, who can be against us and prevail? Doesn't mean you won't have enemies. It means if God is for you, you will prevail. We will prevail. There's victory in Jesus today. But you've got to give it to him. You've got to trust in him. You've got to claim the promise. Don't let your family put you under it. Don't let negative people, don't let Christians who just want to talk fearful stuff all the time. Be careful who you hang out with. Amen. You say, "Brother Bimble, I don't agree with that." Well, we can't walk together. I'm sorry. You'll have to walk over there. Well, I'm way over there, because I'm not going to get up next to you, amen, while you're talking doubt, unbelief, and fear, because the world is full of it. What they need is to see something that'll give them some hope. And why don't they have hope? Because they don't have help. Amen. They're without God and without hope because they have no one to help. The government is not your source of help. Might of this nation or any nation, not your source of help. The greatest military in the world can't heal the cancer that was killing me, but the great physician can and did. The wealth of the world couldn't do it, but the great physician did.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God they took me to church where I could get some help. Thank God there was a church where God came down and helped people in trouble. Thank God it wasn't a dead, ritualistic, man, flesh-governed church. It was a spirit-filled, spirit-led church. Hallelujah. Amen. I was healed from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Brother Venable, did you make it through that leukemia? We've been wondering about that. Well, take a good gander at your pastor this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The devil would have killed me with cancer if I was in so many churches.
Come on, brother.
I would have died. There's no anointing oil. You can't call the elders to pray for you. They don't do that. The last apostle died. There it went. All the help is now gone. Because they're the only ones that had any gifts. And it was only until we got the Bible and we don't need God anymore. We got a book and now we can be theologically correct while spiritually empty.
Come on, brother.
I said theologically correct while spiritually empty. You can go to hell on the highway to hell with a Bible in your hand.
Come on, brother.
Without Jesus, you're lost.
Yeah, right.
Without God, you're hopeless.
Come on.
Because without God, you're helpless. And I don't mean sitting aloof in His heaven. I mean coming down with the answer when we call on Him. Hallelujah. Wow. I don't know how we got in this state. Amen. The church world, no wonder people are leaving churches that have everything. I mean, we got orchestras, we've got choirs that sing like angels, we've got entertainment. Lord, I just can't wait till we get our fog machines up here. Amen. To blow the fog into the area when we're talking about God, and it's getting all foggy in the area. Amen. I can't wait till Sister Venable, amen, comes up front and starts leading the worship. Listen, one of these Sundays, listen, I'm not talking about emotionalism for the sake of emotion. Amen. But the Bible said in Psalm 4, He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad more than in the time when their corn and wine did increase. That's an agricultural driven society. And when their crops are bumper crops and their oil increases, do you know what happens? They rejoice. They throw a party. Can you say, man, when the stock market is up, they're all clapping their hands. There's a bell they clang. Ding, 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 ding. Yay, 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 yay. And then you get to church. My stock in Jesus and God is at an all-time low. Poor, poor, pitiful me. If you want self-pity, you won't get it from God. Amen. Cry. What happened when they complained when He brought them out of Egypt? And they started complaining about everything like we all tend to do and our flesh wants to do all the time. They were doing fine until they started complaining instead of being thankful. Snakes. Snakes like you ain't never seen. Came out. Listen, there's a bunch of them. How many came out? Over 1 million? would you say? I mean, estimate. It's a conservative estimation. Walked out of Egypt by the power of God. And what's the first thing they do when they get out there in the wilderness? Instead of saying, if he brought us this far, it's kind of logical and reasonable to think and believe that he's going to take us all the way.
Come on.
Look what supernatural thing he did to get us out.
Right.
But instead, they started complaining. You see, raining manna out of heaven so they can eat every day. Heaven is baking. Amen. For them. And they're complaining. What did they say? Our soul loatheth this light bread. And they yearned for the flesh pots of Egypt. They say, we don't want, no matter how good this bread is and how nutritious it is, we miss pork chops. Well, they didn't miss pork chops. We miss steak, and we miss stew with meat in it. Poor, poor us. And here we are wandering around out here. Our God must hate us to have brought us out here and then abandon us. He didn't abandon them. They abandoned him.
Amen.
They quit trusting him.
Yeah.
40-day journey. Took 40 years. 40 years. 40 years. They should have been living in the promised land. But they were living, complaining about not living where they didn't trust him enough to go and take. One tribe did not cross over with the rest of them. And Joshua came to them and he said, how long will you be slack to not cross over and possess the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee? You're a bad representation, because it looks like to everybody else God isn't faithful. God has not kept his promise to you. But it's your slackness to trust him enough to possess what he promised to you by faith. And he told them all that God had, past tense, given them as far as he is concerned. And one of the defining landmarks was the Euphrates River. And he said, all of this land is yours. But you've got to cross over that river and you've got to take it. And when they began to cross over the river, they took the Ark of the Covenant. And when they got up to the water, there's no bridge. There's no bridge, but they're going to possess the land. Now the supernatural. When they start doing what they could do by faith, God did what they could never do by the supernatural power to keep his covenant. As they walked carrying that ark, hallelujah, and behind them, and they walked up, and as the priest's feet touched that water, that river stood up. Didn't need no bridge. Thank you. We've got such sad sacks today. I've never seen so many sad sacks. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everywhere I go. Read the news. No wonder people are sad. We bring our burdens in here. God wants to lift them. He would love you to go away from Holy Communion. Hallelujah, saying, thank the Lord. God is for me. Christ is with me. The Holy Spirit is in me. Hallelujah. I came with a burden, but I gave that burden to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My son, in a hospital, my firstborn, because he's spitting up blood. He's bleeding internally. He's in the emergency room in Plant City Hospital. They called me on the phone, said, your son is here. We're diagnosing him. Something is terribly wrong because he's bleeding internally and throwing up blood. So I went to the Lord in prayer. I was going to go to the hospital. Before I could go to the hospital, I get another phone call. And the doctor or nurse says, your son, while we went out of the room before we could test him for anything, he left the hospital. He's gone. His car is not in the parking lot. He's gone. Now, I don't know where he is. And I remember holding that phone. I remember the devil trying to get me to not trust God, to give up on God. Because I've been praying for my son for years. And I didn't hear the devil's voice, but it was imprinted on my mind. Yeah. I'm going to kill your son, and I'm going to take his soul to hell. And all of your prayers and all of your intercession doesn't mean a thing. Now, honey, so many things while I was praying for him went south, went in the opposite direction of what I was praying for. Yeah. And I had a choice to make. Yeah. I can give up on prayer and let it go, or I can hold on to God no matter how it goes from here on and never turn loose. And we, you know what we used to call it? I don't know if we can define that. Laying hold of the horns of the altar. The horn is always used as a symbol of power in the scriptures. When you lay hold to the horns of the altar, you're laying hold to the power of God. When you pray without ceasing, you're laying hold to the power of God. Hallelujah. And it didn't happen in my timing. Didn't happen in my wisdom, my way. But thank God it happened before he went home. Amen. And his soul is secured in the Lord. Yes. But I failed under the load. I crashed to the ground. My emotions were overwhelmed. I went to my knees with my phone like this. I thought, I can't. My legs went out from under me. My son, hemorrhaging. Something's terribly wrong, and now he left the hospital, and I don't know where he is or where to find him. But God knows where he is. I wish I could tell you it didn't faze me. I bound the devil. I believed God. No, I was absolutely overwhelmed. And the devil keeps screaming without any audible voice. I'm going to kill your son tonight. He's going to die in the front seat of his car somewhere. They'll find him sometime tomorrow. And I'm going to take his soul. And all of your prayers and all of your intercession means nothing. I'll tell you something about the devil. He is a liar and the father of lies. Amen. But his lies are made believable by a circumstance that seems to confirm them. Yeah. If you get a chance to listen to the Sunday morning sermon once a month on the first day, listen, it will help you to believe God when the circumstances go south. Amen. And that's when you need to stand in faith more than ever. Yeah. So that God takes up that battle. And that burden comes off of you. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My son had taken, while drinking vodka and beer, because he had migraine headaches that had come back after God had healed him as a young man, young boy, really, miraculously. He had taken a whole bunch of aspirin. And when you got the aspirin and the alcohol together, he started bleeding in his stomach. And it could have killed him, but it did not kill him. Amen. I said, Lord, I can't handle this. That mustard seed faith in God took over. That little bit of faith in God took over. Not that great faith, but that little faith, but in him took over. Yeah. And he took up the battle. Yeah. And he preserved my son's life until he could bring him to full and complete salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've been in many circumstances where people were passing away and many Christians passing away, but I've never seen a peace on anyone that passed away like my son had when God took him home. Never saw anything like that. Never experienced it myself. It was just wonderful. Dad, I'm going to beat you to heaven. He was happy. Hallelujah. Amen. If God's people don't cast our burden on the Lord, we will never represent God's promise to help in the day of trouble. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And what happens when you're delivered? Thou shalt glorify me. Thou shalt glorify me. Amen. I want to glorify him for his faithfulness. I want to thank him for his grace. I want to thank him because I come to my wit's end real quick. Amen. I can't figure everything out, but I don't have to. All I need to do is have him say to me in my spirit, You have committed it to me. I've got it. And I don't want you to worry anymore.
Amen.
I want you to accept my help. Amen. Has the circumstance changed? No. But I'm being changed. Let me tell you something. If he doesn't speak to the storm in your life, he will speak to the storm that the storm in your life has created in your heart and your mind. And he will speak to your heart and your mind in the midst of the storm. Peace, be still. And it'll come, and it is a peace, my brother and my sister, that passes understanding, because the storm can get worse. But you know that you know that you know if God be for me. If God be for me. And I'm going to tell you something, because you accepted Christ as your Savior, you can plead the merits of his blood over your life. Praise God. And that is simply saying, if he loved us enough, say it with me, Romans 8:32. Let's get some scripture in here. Romans 8:32. Hallelujah. If he loved us enough to offer up, sacrificial language, his only son, how will he not also with him give us all things? Can you say amen? That's why the scripture says he hath in Christ, you see, given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. If he would give his son, how will he not? How can we not trust him and trust his love and his faithfulness to us?
Amen.
God is for us. I don't know why he loved me. Oh, but I'm glad. So glad that he did. I don't know why he loved you. I'm not casting aspersions. You're pretty nice on a good day. I don't know why he loved any of us that much.
Amen, brother.
But he did.
Amen.
Glory. For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. You know what only begotten means? When I was in Haiti, my interpreter, French Creole was the language, and he would interpret it as the unique Son of God. I like that.
Yeah.
In Creole, it was unique. And unique means one of a kind, no equal, and no other like him.
Amen.
I like that. Only begotten. Say with you, it's not just the only one God calls Son. He is unique. He is no one like. What manner of man is this?
Yeah.
That even the wind and waves obey him.
Yes.
He doesn't speak as the priest or the elders. He speaks as one having authority.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What kind of guy is this? Amen. Glory to the Lord. He's the unique Son of the living God. And God gave him for you and for me and for our salvation. And that's got to impact us again. Hallelujah. In Holy Communion, when we revisit the cross and the unique Son of God that hung on it so we could be saved. And if that don't turn over your honey bucket, some of you looking at me like, I don't have a honey bucket. I don't ever get happy over anything. I would hate to see you if you suddenly became filthy rich. Stinking filthy rich. I would hate to see you. I mean, you know, if you won the lotto, not that you play it, but if you won it, but if you do win it, tithe it. Anyway, moving right along. And I'll ask God to forgive you. E pluribus unum. That's Latin. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm happy today. You know, I'm happy at church because it's not the exact place to be happy because we're Christians. We're under fire from the devil. Oh, at work, they do this to me. They say that about me. Well, good. That is really great. That means you're so identified with Jesus and the devil sees you as such a threat that he comes against you. Hallelujah. Poor old me. Poor, poor. Pitiful me. I remember that song years ago. I laid my head on the railroad track waiting for the 409. Going to let the train just kill me. And I'm listening for that train to rumble, for the train to come. And suddenly they have changed the route. I mean, it's in the song. It was a popular song. I laid my head on the railroad track waiting for the 309 or whatever train it was. Going to kill me. Get it over with. Just run right over me. And they changed the track. And the train didn't come so I could just kill myself and get it over with. And then the chorus comes in. Poor, poor, pitiful me. I can't even kill myself. Yeah. In the serious side of suicide, in our county, probably Manatee, one of our close joining, a mother yesterday kills her two children and herself. You think this world doesn't need to see some hope, not just see a bumper sticker,
right,
but to see something viable, visible, genuine and authentic? Do you think happiness doesn't call them to ask us something? How can you be happy with all the pressures and all of the problems that everyone is facing? How can you be optimistic in times like this? And the Bible said when they begin to ask this loaded question, be instant in season, out of season. You're not going out to witness, but you can't help but be a witness.
Amen.
You're not purposing to witness, but you can't help but be a witness.
Right.
When they ask a reason, when they ask a reason, you start talking to them out of the blue about Jesus with an old long face.
Yeah.
They don't care. They do not care. They don't want to hear it. But you show them something that they can't buy with money, they can't drink away, they can't shoot up away. We've had people not want to come here because they get convicted of their sin and they're not ready to lay it down. So they'll go to a church where they can just clap their hands and have someone tell them everything is just fine, just keep on going down the road you're on. And they got a big old Bible carrying it on the highway to hell. There will be people in hell that got on the broad way carrying a Bible.
Yeah, true.
But they never met the Master. If they had, amen, they wouldn't be on that broad way, going with the course of this world, going with the flow. If we don't get this, we can't help them. I wish I could have talked to that mother and tell her there's hope in Christ. There isn't hope in this world, but there's hope in Jesus. And this scenario of fam killing your kids, can a mother forget her suckling child? Yay, she may. It's not only possible, it's becoming more probable in our world. They're finding a baby in a dumpster, a newborn in the toilet. Can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may. Yeah. It's against nature, but until something has happened to human nature, evil and wickedness has entered into this world and taking all the light and all the love and all the hope out of it. And all the money you can accumulate can't give you the peace that only Christ offers us.
Amen, brother.
All of the things, all of the sins of the flesh. But God can. And God will. But He needs some people that represent Him that way. I'm tempted to complain all the time. If I go with the flow of my feelings at any given time, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't get that. I'm asked to do something by faith, and without what He's done on the cross, to me it's impossible. And that is to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and not lean on my head.
Amen.
Not lean to your understanding. There is a peace. There is a love that passes knowledge. Can't lean on your head. You can't. You can give mental assent, but it supersedes that. It's a love that passes all understanding. It's a peace that does the same thing. It supersedes the circumstance. In the midst of the storm, there's somebody singing praise. Hallelujah. Why would I sing praise in the storm? I only sing praise when He stops the storm. No, darling, that's not how faith works. You sing it in the storm. If you want God to take care of that storm, sing it in the storm. Praise God. At midnight, held over to be destroyed, Paul and Silas are in prison. At midnight, at the darkest hour of the night, and if they let it, a darkness of hopelessness coming into their heart. But they didn't let it. They didn't let it. They prayed. They prayed. They prayed. They prayed. They prayed. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. They prayed. And then they wrung their hands, wondering. And God, I do this so well because I've done it so much. Lord, if You don't come through, I just prayed. But Lord, what if You got to come through now? I know how to do it because I've done it so much. But I catch myself now and say, no, no, no. There's no what and there's no what if. I prayed to a God who said, when you pray, I bend down to listen. I incline my ear to You. I'm going to cast this over onto Him because He is right here with me. In the flame and in the fire of the trial, He's right here. There is a fourth man here, and He's right in here with us. We're not alone in this battle. And actually, the battle is no more ours. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. If I hold my peace, my propensity to complain and speak doubt and fear, hey, say my peace. Amen. And let the Lord fight my battle. Be still and know that I am God. Stand still. See the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord. Be still and know. Stand still and see. Plop, plop. Fizz, fizz. When I finally gave my son to the Lord, God took up the battle. It was a decades-long battle. And there were many reversals during that prayer time. But ultimately, God did what He promised to do in answer to prayer that was perpetually prayed and never let up. My son passed away on a Sunday 8-9 years ago. Come home from church, and fire department, police cars. My son is with the Lord. God was with us. A peace came that I cannot explain. God sent people to us. The policeman that came, he got a call on his radio. His shift was over, and they said, we heard it, said, do you want us to send someone else to take your place and you can go on home? He said, no, I'm going to stay here. Yeah. And in the front yard of my son's home, the policeman took my wife and I by the hand and prayed for us. Hallelujah. His peace, knowing my son is with the Lord, and now people that he sent. He sent. I'm not going to leave here. I'm going to stay here and pray with this couple that's just lost their son. Not lost him in the sense of he's gone forever. No, lost him to the death of the flesh, but he's with the Lord. Amen. And he prayed in compassion with us and for us.
Hallelujah.
And I said, Lord, you're with us. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? I got a mansion builder and he ain't through with me yet.
Amen.
Can you say amen? If he doesn't take you from, I guarantee you, he will take you through. Amen. And the flame that is meant to consume you will not kindle on you. And not only will you be delivered when you... Listen, not if, but when, because it's coming somewhere, sometime, some way. Things are going to happen in this fallen world. But when you go through the fire, it shall not kindle upon you. Hallelujah. Because I am with you. That's why you give it to Him. He's with you. He's for you. And when you go through the flood, it will not drown you. When it overwhelms you, it will not drown you. Hallelujah. Isn't there a scripture? Y'all quit amen, and I want to quit and have communion here in a minute. Keep on amen, and we're not done. It's worth it. Amen. Listen to me. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it's in an overwhelming way. Your emotions, I don't care what kind of strong constitution you have. Your emotions have limits and they can be overwhelmed. Can you say amen? And when the enemy comes in like an overwhelming flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Glory to God. And stem the flow. Turn that flood away from you.
Amen.
Because I'm with you. I'm with you. I am with you. I'm with you. In this world, how many are still in this world? You shall have tribulation. Troubles. Be of good cheer. Come on, church. Be of good cheer. If there ever is a message to God's church today that the Spirit is speaking, cheer up! You're not alone in this. Cheer up! Christ is with you. Cheer up! God is for you. And if God be for you, everybody say, cheer up! Hallelujah! If God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. If He loved us enough to offer up His unique Son, His only begotten Son, how would He not also with Him give you all things? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hosanna da bariti. Kalabasitianda. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Father, I thank you today because you are faithful. I thank you for the cross, my friend. Hallelujah. I used to close my prayers with amen, with a simple amen. But now I get down to the end of prayer and I say, Father, and I'm asking all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell the Lord, my sovereign, this is just me and it changes, but it's always about acknowledging him as my King, my Lord, but also my Savior. And the last thing I say to the Father, and within it many times I will say my Abba Father, acknowledging a paternal relationship with him.
Yeah.
And my precious friend.
Yeah.
My precious friend.
Yeah.
Abraham was called what every Christian can and should be called. The friend
of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Simply because he agreed with God.
Amen.
Staggered not at the promise of God.
Right.
Through unbelief.
Right.
But was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Right.
He believed God. And it was imputed to him righteousness with God. It was put to his account. I don't know what you're trying to get, what you're trying to do to get him to put something to his account so you and him can have that kind of relationship. But I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do short of trusting in his love for you and the finished work of Christ at the cross for you. If that doesn't qualify you, nothing you can do, dear friend, nothing you can do will ever qualify you for him listening, hearing, and helping you. That's why I plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What can wash away my sin? And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I did not understand the peace in my heart. I did not understand the people God sent and put around us to shore up. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When I took care of my own son's funeral, and I wondered if I could emotionally get through it. And the church was full of respect for me and people that knew him. And it was overflow, our little home church, house church. We were in a big old house. And they were in the kitchen. They were in the hallway. And it was full and standing room. Only. Doug told me something to the extent, are you okay? Can you get through this? I know I was teary-eyed. Sure, I was teary-eyed, but it wasn't tears of hopelessness. But we are not like others. Come on, we are not like others. That's not just a funeral thing, honey. That's a life thing. We're not like others in any circumstance that have no hope. Praise God. Amen. And I remember bending down with my heart feeling the presence of the Lord with me and kissing him on the cheek. Because every time compassion was shown to me, I felt Jesus. Anyone who felt for me, that's called empathy. It's not just sympathizing. Empathy means I feel what you're feeling. I put myself in your place. Jesus had that. He looked on a high place over a city. And he looked at people and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. They'll die. They are already vessels of wrath, fit for destruction.
Come on, brother.
The enemy will consume them. The enemy will destroy them. They have no shepherd to care for them and defend them. And he groaned in his spirit, empathy. He said he had compassion. Now look that up in the Greek, and it means to have the bowels to yearn over. Yeah. You don't find that much in pulpits.
Come on, brother.
Prophets that knew judgment was coming, they cried. Yeah. They wept over Jerusalem. They wept over God's chosen people.
Yeah.
Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. The Apostle Paul saw the false prophets come into the church and the church following them. And he said, I cease not to warn you for 3 solid years with tears.
And they with tears, that's what he said.
Jesus stood over Jerusalem. He wanted to be their Messiah and Savior. He was sent for them to be saved and not conquered by Rome and crucified by the thousands.
Yeah.
Roman candles. That's not a firework. You know where that phrase was coined? For Nero's parties, they soaked Christians in oil or tar, tied them to posts. Have you seen these mosquito things you put up for outdoors for the summer? They have that oil, that citronella. You put them up for parties, outdoor parties. Nero's outdoor parties were Christians burning on poles. Roman candles. And that church did not just survive Nero's Rome and the hate and angst of a fallen world. They thrived, and the gospel went to the four corners of the earth. And if you get into the whole Bible and not just parts pulled out, you will get into the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you all the people that were delivered from. But if you keep reading, it'll come down saying, I'll tell you something, that we don't ever go down. You need to keep on reading.
Amen.
And others.
Yeah.
And others. Hebrews 11, keep reading. And others went through trials. Were martyred, were tortured, were killed, were incarcerated. And you know what God said of them? Of whom the world was not worthy. He esteemed them higher than giant killers. He esteemed them higher than people that believe God for children like Abraham. He put them on the top shelf. And you know where the martyrs are right now? You know where they are right now? Right now, John said, I know where they are. I saw them. They're in the closest place to God you could be in heaven, except before His throne. They're right there under His throne. They're right there with me. They're mine. They're special. They have prevailed to the death out of a deep devotion for me. Hallelujah. And the world wasn't worthy of one of them. And you don't know one of them's names, because they are not the heroes that brought down giants or killed armies with jawbones. They are the heroes that kept the faith, no matter what, out of their deep devotion to Jesus Christ. Communion is supposed to either kindle, if it's never happened, or rekindle the first love, a deep, ardent love that will hold us when the whole course of the world and many compromised in the church is pulling us away from God. But it will hold us fast. But religious resolve will not hold you. But a real, genuine, personal, satisfied relationship with Jesus will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today in Holy Communion, we look back to what He done for us on the cross. This do in remembrance of me. Not in a general sense, specifically, my body broken, my blood poured out. That's supposed to impact us. Hallelujah. It's supposed to have an impact over and over again, so that we can sing it and mean it. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. It's that deep devotion born out of love that holds us steady when everything is shaken. Hallelujah. Communion can be a routine, a dead religious ritual. Kept out of ritual.
Come on.
Or it can be a time of rekindling and renewing the first love for Christ.
Yeah.
Do you have that song on your list? May I never lose the wonder. The wonder of the cross. May I see it like the first time, standing as a sinner lost, undone by mercy, watching wide-eyed at the cost. May I never lose the wonder of the cross. If you're going to do your first works and get back your first love, it starts at the foot of the cross. It starts at gazing upon the one who suffered and died for you. That love for Him is rekindled. That first love is rekindled. If the church back gets our trust back, gets our faith back, we'll walk out of the building a living epistle. The Bible in shoe leather. Glory be to God. A living witness. And a readiness to tell everyone who asks, where do you get that kind of peace in this kind of world?
Yeah.
Where do you get that kind of hope in this kind of trouble? And you tell them through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. As often as we eat this bread, drink this cup, we show, publicly proclaim His death, till he come. Every time the Lord's Supper is over, communion is over, we walk out having looked back to His death for us, rekindling the first love for Him, deepening our devotion to Him. But we don't keep looking back now. We look forward. We look forward. We show His death till He come. There is a reminder. Jesus, in fact, is coming back for His bride, His people, His church.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They were about to get the blues when He ascended. They were just about to get under the load. Jesus is gone now. Well, number one, He came back in the Holy Spirit. But number two, He's coming back bodily.
Amen.
To take us bodily home with Him at the resurrection.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Why stand you gazing at the heavens? There he goes. All is lost.
Yeah.
Amen. He rose from the dead, but there he goes now. No.
This same Jesus which is taken up unto heaven, says, so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven.
Yeah, I'm coming again.
Amen.
Amen. Don't despair. Don't doubt for a minute. Keep your eye on the eastern sky. Glory be to God. When you see these things that get you down, get anybody down. We're not like others who have no hope. When you see these things begin to come to pass, we're seeing them right now. It's a shaking all over the world and in families and all over America. Praise God. And in the church world. Listen, when you see these things begin, lift up your head. Come on, cheer up. It's over. Don't be afraid. It's just about over for eternity. Your redemption. He's saying that to the redeemed. Your redemption, your physical deliverance from death, from sin, from Satan, from self, from this old world is about to take place. Because when He comes, everything's going to change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. God. Hallelujah. Amen. Your redemption is almost here. If that doesn't cheer you up, I urge you to get saved. Oh yeah, I'm clear. I urge you to come to Christ. Because if you don't know Him, you can't fake this. You can't fake this. You can't put this on for Sunday morning. You can't live a projected facade of what you think a Christian should be. It has to be real. And communion is an opportunity to get real with God and get right with God. And walk out of here with God on your side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How shall we do? What can we do, Moses? What can we do? Our back's against the sea. The mightiest army in the known world at that time is breathing down our necks to kill us. The first thing you can do is hold your peace. Shut up. Shut it. You keep talking like God has forsaken us, like we're a God-forsaken people, that He can't handle this. You talk like the God that brought us out is going to let us die out here. You saw His miracles in Egypt, and already you're doubting Him. Hold your peace. If you can't say nothing good, come on. Shut up. Stand still. Be still and know. Stand still and see. Moses don't know what to do, but he knows what not to do. And that's talk as if God isn't going to deliver them or can't deliver them or it's too late to deliver them. Amen. And he said, Moses, what you got in your hand? He said, I got a rod. I got a stick. Not just any rod. I suppose it was a rod from the ark. I believe that scholars may believe that. It was Aaron's rod that budded to prove that God was with them in the supernatural. He said, what you got in your hand? He said, a stick. Can you imagine what run through his mind? Pharaoh's army's coming and you give me a stick. At least you gave Samson a jawbone. You give me a stick against an army. No, he knew that wasn't going to, God's going to do something supernatural.
Yeah.
But he asked the man to do something by faith that's well within his ability to do it.
Amen.
Once God takes up the fight, all you need is a stick in obedience.
That's right.
Said, stretch it out against the Red Sea. Just stretch it. You know, you need to stretch your faith every now and then. Stretch it out a little bit. Amen. Give it to God. Just stretch it out a little bit. Stretch your faith out enough to trust Him enough to say, I refuse to work. I'm going to go get me a milkshake and they got a hamburger. I know it's getting lunchtime. I got your undivided attention. They got a hamburger now at McDonald's, cost $10. It's a big, bad 1,200 tart stopping, artery clogging, good old hamburger. Can you say? $10 hamburger. They slather so much. People complain because they slather so much sauce or whatever it is on it. I can't wait to try it someday. Amen. Oh, dear friend of mine. But I am hungry today to see a revival in my day. To see God's people helped. To see God's people in victory. To see God's people with a song in their, with laughter in their tongue and a song in their mouth. Because God turns the captivity of Zion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
In Holy Communion today, we look back not to sympathize with Jesus, but to understand the full revelation of the love of God, rest in the gift of His Son and Jesus' obedient gift of Himself on that cross. And we acknowledge God is for us, no matter how it feels, how it seems. And God is with us. God is with us. And He will show Himself strong when you need it and where you need it. Hallelujah. It may be angels. It may be a Christian nurse. It may be a Christian doctor. It may be a Christian. It may be a guy that prays for your hot water heater.
Amen. Yeah.
Our hot water heater. It cost, if we put the everything they do to it, could have cost all kind of money. Lowe's give an estimate. And so anyway, we had it put in and it wouldn't heat. And a guy comes that helped put it in and is going to repair it. And we're wondering how we can fit that repair bill. It's kind of like plumbers and all this rolled into one, electrician and the whole thing. Could cost $1,500, $1,000, and we're bracing ourselves for the bill. And he reaches in, he tinkers with it, and I found what it was. And he said, it should be fine now, and it's been fine ever since. He's leaving. He says, I'm not going to charge you anything. And I thought, wow. You're not going to charge us anything. And by the way, he didn't own the company. He worked for the company. And I don't think they would think, you know, they would be very happy with him not charging us something. I mean, they pull up in your yard, you've got to charge. I'm not going to charge you anything. And he's walking away and he says, hey, wait a minute. He said, your name is Robert, right? I said, that's correct. He said, your wife's name is Pamela? Because we had, you know, we'd done service with this company before. I said, that's right. He said, okay, can I pray for y'all? And I said, no, let me pray about it. No. Can I pray for y'all? I thought, Lord, I'd rather have that than $1,000,000. $1,000,000 can't buy you what prayer can get you. Amen. Glory to God. Answered prayer I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He come over. Put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I knew right then, this ain't phony right here. This man knows the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you will bless Robert. I pray you will bless Pamela. I will pray you will bless their household. And then he did something I didn't expect. He said, Lord, I pray you will bless their hot water heater to keep running like it ought to run and heat the water like it's supposed to heat the water. And then he said it again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to hug him and kiss him on the cheek. Because he didn't give us a bill. It's because God sent him. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord when it's all said and done.